I'm Peter Medlin, and you are listening to Teacher's Lounge. And if this is your first time hearing our show, it's based on a really simple idea that we've all had teachers in our lives who helped us become who we are today. And every educator on this podcast, whether teacher, coach, or professor, is nominated by the people who listen. We want you to be a part of this show with us, so please tell us about the educators who've inspired you and the folks in your community who you think deserve a spotlight. Email us with your nominations at teacherslounge@niu.edu. Now, today on the show, it is our conversation with Leslie Bradley and Brooke May. They are the Vienna High School teachers who lead the Southern Illinois Future Teachers Coalition. Now, as you could probably guess by that name, it is designed to find and recruit the next generation of educators. Now, you've maybe heard us talk on this show about teacher shortages in the past, and some schools in their area really do have a very tough time hiring enough teachers, so they're trying to grow their own, but not on their own. It's a collaboration between the Illinois State Board of Education, Southern Illinois University, several community colleges, and 25 school districts down towards the state's southern tip. And they all work together to provide opportunities and resources, getting students into classrooms early to see if this career could be for them, and supporting them throughout their education journey. Now, just as importantly, they also show them that there are those real opportunities to build a life and build a career at home in Southern Illinois. You don't have to leave to be successful. So without any further ado, let's just jump right into my conversation with Brooke and Leslie. When we talk about teacher shortages in 2026, what does that actually look like for you guys and the schools that you work with?
It's a very real issue. When we're talking about teacher shortages, we have schools that are combining with other schools. Here at Vienna, we have Dongola High School coming to us. There's also another school within our area that, they're asking other schools to help teach their basic programming because they just don't have teachers in order to teach them. So it's a very real, we can see it, we're living it situation here in Southern Illinois.
And when you say that they're combining, I know that for us up here in Northern Illinois, we have some rural districts where for certain classes, there will be a teacher that travels from one district to another to cover an ag class or a science class. Can you give me some examples about, again, what that can look like?
Yeah, so really what we're seeing is that for us here, so Vienna High School administers the grant. So when we kind of say Vienna High School looking through their lens, we have teachers here who are teaching face-to-face with students who are here on our campus, but then at the same time, that class is going out live to students in other school districts because they do not have a teacher that is needed. So for instance, Shawnee High School, which is, I don't know, probably like 45 miles from us or so, zooms in to a dual credit English class here that's provided by one of our teachers on our campus. And so we are filling some of that shortage, filling some of those shortages for our area schools. We're actually providing instruction, I think this year to four different high schools, just filling in some gaps that they need.
Does it mainly look like that, where they are being streamed in simultaneously to a class in a different district? Or do you have situations like the one that I described where you have teachers driving from district to district or school to school covering classes, or is mainly digital?
It's mostly digital. Okay. We're not driving over to different school districts to do that instruction. So it's better use of our time to keep our instructors here on our campus, face-to-face with the students we have here, and then zooming in for others. It's not necessarily maybe the most effective way for those other schools, but it is a way that they're able to continue offering those educational opportunities.
That sounds hard. I remember 2021-ish, maybe even 2022, where, you know, there were some students who were back in person. There were some students who were still learning from home during the pandemic. And I remember hearing from some teachers at that time saying, actually, teaching one group at home and one group in person is even more difficult than teaching all of one or all of the other. I mean, what do you hear from teachers who are covering that, like, even just like interacting and staying engaged with those students who are in 45 miles away?
Yeah, so that absolutely is a dynamic that's not suited for everyone. As a person who's been actively involved with the union here at Vienna High School and on those negotiation teams, we work that language into our contract to where teachers cannot be made to do those classes. But if they do, there's a financial incentive for them. So like we might have five teachers who could teach an English class, two students who Zoom in, but it's just whomever wants to actually do it. So if for me, I don't think I would want to do that. I do teach a class online for another school district, but it's not during the same time I'm teaching other students. So it's difficult, but we're seeing here in Southern Illinois, there's a real need.
Right. And when we talk about the teacher shortage, I think for us, definitely, it's a situation where it's very dependent district to district. Obviously, more lower income districts, more rural districts have the shortages are concentrated more there and also in particular positions, right? Like the ones special education, bilingual, some of those like high school science classes, you know, you mentioned like dual credit, those things tougher to staff. I imagine that it's the same kind of story for you guys. But is it also the case, too, or just more broadly with everything, with all classes, there are fewer people applying to all positions? Is it harder to find a teacher anywhere and then just particularly within those ones we mentioned? Or just like how widespread is it for you guys?
I think we're seeing it really is dependent upon the school district. So I think here at Vienna, we're on the upswing where we're getting more applicants for teaching positions than what we were getting four, maybe 5 years ago. But other schools are not seeing that. We have a very competitive pay base here. We are actively pursuing teachers who have master's degrees. We're actively pursuing expanding our opportunities. Some of the school districts, unfortunately, are just not in a position to do that. And so they're struggling to fill their basic needs. And there's all sorts of reasons that can happen, right? It can be about pay, but it can also be about a lot of other issues too. And when you maybe have five school districts out of your seven counties who are all looking for a first grade teacher, at that point, then it becomes competitive. And so those candidates are looking for the best fit for them. And it is unfortunately leaving some jobs open in other school districts.
Yeah. So let's use that to jump right into the work that you guys do with the coalition. First of all, can you just describe it for people of what it is? Like, what are we talking about when we talk about the Southern Illinois Future Teachers Coalition?
Sure. So we are grant funded through an Illinois State Board of Education grant, the Education Career Pathway Grant. We started out with nine high schools in 2021. And our main goal was to go into these high schools, create an education pathway. So that would mean recruiting students who are interested in education as a career, joining a future teacher club, getting them dual credit, putting them into classrooms and lower levels, lower grade levels, and letting them have hands-on opportunities, you know, being underneath a mentor teacher to see what the day in and day out of teaching is all about. Because there's nothing worse than getting to your junior year of college, being placed in your first observation and going, I hate second graders. What have I done? Right? So this is our whole entire goal. So since then, we have received four more grants. So we have now 25 high schools in Southern Illinois. This past year, school year alone, we had over 500 students in education pathways. Since our inception in 2021, we've had about 1,200 students go through the programming. So that's our whole basis, is to reach out to those students who are interested in education as a career, maybe not necessarily standing in front of a classroom, but something in education. Because if you think about the wheelhouse of a school, so many different positions make that school function. So we do a lot of career exploration, putting students with those people so they can see what it's really about and letting them just try on different jobs to see what fits.
Oh, interesting. So we're recruiting not just for what we think of, again, that second grade classroom teacher, but for jobs within a whole school ecosystem?
Yeah, I've been super passionate about that. So yes, we need to fill teaching positions, but we also need school social workers. We also need school resource officers. We also need school nurses. And so when we can provide those opportunities for students to see what it would look like to work with a student, right? Like a school resource officer, we think about that person providing safety to the school for us. But that school resource officer's job is also to get to know the student population. So that's a shared job, if you will, that teachers are also doing. But we need everyone. It's really everyone. And so we're trying to stress to students, like, this education program, schools are finding these gaps in all areas. There's not a long list of schools who are like, yeah, I had 25 school social workers apply, or I had 25 school resource officers looking for a job, or 25 school nurses. So we're really pushing to get students engaged with us if they want any job within a school system.
Oh, wow. So obviously most of that work's going to be doing, you know, at those individual schools, identifying what students have an interest in there. Like, what does it look like day to day to, again, not just recruit teachers, but recruit school social workers? I think that's a fascinating thing. Like, are there particular, not just necessarily students who show an interest in, like, hey, I want to be a teacher and I want to figure out how, but seeing a student in your class and being like, actually, I think you've got what we're looking for.
Data collection.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a data analyst that we employ through the grant, and she, data is her jam. It's her special gift. So we're able to keep track. We have each student fill out what we call a personalized learning plan at the beginning of every school year. And so we list a laundry list of different kinds of employment that students might be interested in. And we can take that data, feed it back to our Education Club sponsors to say, this is what your students are wanting to know about. Start letting them career exploration happen. Bring those people in. Put your students into their offices. So like this year we have a speech pathologist. You know, you're not thinking Education Club, hey, be a speech pathologist. But that's what she wanted to do. So we put her in speech pathologist. You know, no 2 days are ever the same. And so much success depends upon that club sponsor. When we go into a school, we meet with administration and say, give me your dynamic teachers, the people who love to come to school. Students are drawn to them. They're constantly engaging, drawing students in. That's who I want to represent the Future Education Club. Because you don't want a teacher who's like, I'm only doing this for the stipend or whatever. You want those students to be with a teacher who loves teaching, loves everything about it. And so much of our program is a success of finding that correct club sponsor.
So is the idea to shepherd those students and, you know, stoke that interest in becoming a teacher or a school social worker, speech pathologist, and, you know, get them through high school, get them through college, and then they go out in the world to be a teacher? Or is the ideal situation they come back to the school that they started at? In what you see, and a lot of times when you talk about solutions for teacher shortages, we talk about these grow your own programs of students coming back to teach at the school that they were at.
Well, I think it's a combination of both, right? Because, like, yes, we would love for them to come back to our school, but we might not have an opening. So if we don't have an opening, what neighboring district still in our area has one? So I currently have three graduates of this program here at Vienna who are now working in our Vienna school district. So, I mean, how exciting is that they graduated college and we got them. They came back to us. But at the same time, if we hadn't had a position open for them, I would have loved to have seen them in our area. Let's keep them. This is to boost the teacher avenues within Southern Illinois. So yes, I want to grow my own. Yes, I want to keep them here. But you know what? Two doors down from where my office is, we have an English teacher, first year English teacher, who was in our program, but she was not a student here at Vienna. She was as a student at one of our schools that we serve. And so I just think it's really cool that, like, oh, she's here with us.
Yeah.
You know, she was part of our program and went on to college, and now she's working here at Vienna.
You know, when we first created CIFSE, our main goal was to keep our students local. That's why we're a coalition. So we combine our three local community colleges with our local university, which is Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. Our main goal was to have these students branch out into a local higher education, and then come back, maybe not to our schools, but somewhere in our Southern Illinois community. So that's always been our goal, is to stay local, return local. And we are starting to see that since our grant has been, you know, a couple of years going, we're finally starting to see those graduates come back as our, you know, newly hired teachers. So it's very rewarding.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I saw on the website, or maybe it's actually within the grant itself, there was some language about, again, like wanting to make, you know, have a space for students to stay in this area and stay in this region, where it talked about, I'm going to quote specifically from it, it talks about the challenges are many in terms of how to overcome the shortages and have the greatest impact in reducing and eliminating them in the shortest time possible. And the impact is due in large to a lack of economic opportunities in the region, and it's a geographical area that's actively declining with an aging, less educated, and less competitive population. And so, you know, again, like philosophically, we're also like asking students, like, would you like to stay home? What does it mean to you to do that? And like, are there going to be opportunities for you to stay here if you want to do that? Which is also, I have to imagine, a huge component, right? Like, do you want to stay living here? And do you feel like there are going to be opportunities for you if you do want to do that?
Well, right. I mean, doing career counseling with students, right? I always have freshmen, sophomore girls, bless their hearts. They all want to be what I say are mermaids, which really, Brooke's choking over here because I mean,
on water, ironically.
They want to be mermaids. Yeah, on water. Yes. Yeah. Which really means marine biology, right? We all want to be marine biologists, these freshman girls. And
so why is that like, the joke? Why is that? Because that's also the example that I use often when I'm like, everyone that feels like they know exactly what they've wanted to do since they were 6 years old. And the profession I always pluck out is marine biologist. I don't know why either.
We couldn't be further away from the ocean.
Yes.
Exactly so, right.
You know, in counseling students, advising students, right, in career choices, when we're meeting with students and talking about what that looks like for them, like, where do they see themselves? And if you see yourself living here in Southern Illinois, then, okay, marine biology needs to come off the plate. So now let's talk about what your other skill sets might be. What other learning experiences can we give you? We would absolutely love it if every single student who goes through our Southern Illinois Future Teacher program returns to Southern Illinois and wants to be a teacher. But if that really were to happen, we would have people who couldn't find jobs, right? Because we're saying we have a large number of students that we are focusing on. Again, not every student's desire is to be a teacher, and that's okay, because wall to wall, there's all sorts of roles. But we want to make sure that students are employable as well, and that the job market is there to support that. The job market in Southern Illinois is not going to support being a marine biologist, but it does support teaching. And we know that there's jobs open in this area. My seniors I had in class this year, I made them start thinking about the school districts in our area. And they had to name them, like, start naming for me the school districts in our area right now that you know that there is someone retiring from, either now or even in the next 2, 3, 4 years. Do you have a path to know that you can be employed if you wish to stay in this area? And the answer is like a solid yes. They know that. So we're talking about job market, job security. It's here. I mean, teaching is, it can provide that.
They got to have marine biologists on the Mississippi River though, right? Like catfish, right? Someone's studying them, right?
Yes.
I mean, yes. We've had freshwater sharks as far north as Alton. So, I mean, hey.
So let's not close the door all the way on the marine biologist thing, but it's going to look different.
Well, let's not close it all the way, but how exciting for me that it is that I had a student who junior year, she still wanted to be a marine biologist, and I talked her into taking education classes, and now she will have her first full-time job in August in one of our school districts, in one of our Vienna schools.
Teaching science?
No, actually, no. How great it would be, but actually she is going to a special education.
Yeah. So again, when people are starting in this program, like, I imagine it starts at the high school level primarily, right? And you have these partnerships with colleges. So is the coalition, all the groups, you're staying in contact with them throughout the course? Like, does it feel like you are part of a cohort or part of a group? Are you staying in contact with the coalition throughout your education journey? Like, what does that look like?
I mean, we are as much as possible. We have those schools that we're in very frequent contact with. We know that they're hiring back their students. We see these schools at functions that we have, SIU School of Education Day. We host an event. We're seeing these students. If they come in as freshmen and then stay for those 4 years, we're getting our first pocket of students right now who have been with us for 4 years. Our first group would have graduated last year. Right. Who could have been four-year members. And so we're seeing them at functions that we're going to and trying to say, what can we do to support you? What college are you interested in? Where are you wanting to be hired? Talking to those sponsors of those schools, trying to find out what their needs are, helping as much as possible. And every day is different of what someone might need.
Yeah, there's some examples. Like, how can you guys help?
Well, scholar, I know. I'm like, okay, where do we start?
Yeah.
Scholarship opportunities. Okay. So sharing out things that come to us, sharing those to our sponsors, sharing those to student bodies, say, here's a scholarship opportunity. Here's jobs that are hiring. Reaching out to those sponsors to say, hey, did you know that this school district has an opening for one of the neighboring school districts? They actually are one of our SIPC schools. I got a text message from one of their teachers. Their education sponsor last week that said, hey, we have a high school history opening. Who do you have in SIPC? Who do you have who's gone through the program who would maybe be a fit for this? You know, what contacts do you know of? And so here we are trying to go down that rabbit hole of thinking, okay, so-and-so had a graduate. That student should be graduating college in another year. Or maybe that student is graduating, has graduated right now. Let's try to make that connection. So sometimes it looks like helping to support new hires. Other times it's helping students find scholarship opportunities, connecting them with college programming. We primarily, though, do work with our three local community colleges, and then our university partner is SIU of Carbondale. And so that might mean taking students up there to meet with the Department of Education and providing those resources. What can we do? What do you need from us?
There's so many different paths that you could go down, right? Like so many different places that you could end up, from high school social studies teacher to special education, all sorts of other things. Mm-hmm. I was curious, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, are there examples, are there cases where you feel like this is a student who, like, really exemplifies what we're trying to do, and that path is what we're trying to do for students?
Yes.
Of course,
yes.
It's one of Hyannis students. Of course it is.
I'm going to let Brooke share, though, so it doesn't seem too biased, because I actually had this student in class. So I spent 25 years in the classroom full time and then moved out of the classroom these past 3 years for this role, other than holding on to that dual credit education class. So that just helps us. But yes, we have that student. I'm going to let Brooke share.
So at Vienna, we have a lot of dual credit, like on the books, as we call it. How is it, like
150
hours of dual credit available. So the one young woman that I'm talking about, her name is Maylee Sparks. She graduated high school with her associate's degree, which we have usually at least a dozen, you know, upwards around maybe 15, 17 students every year graduating with associate's degrees. So she entered college as a junior. So she only had to do 2 years of college. She came out of college, was hired directly at Vienna Grade School as a first grade teacher.
Age 20,
first year teaching. And now she is welcoming our students in the high school and the education club into her classroom to be a mentor teacher for them. If we had a poster child, it would be Maylee Sparks at Vienna Grade School, because this is what we really want for all of our graduates: to be as successful as they can, get the job exactly where they know they need it, stay local, and then pour back in to the whole teaching profession to say, come be in my classroom with me, see my love of education. This is how you do it. She's the poster child.
How many total students did you say have gone through the program at this point in the last, you know, 5 years or so?
1,200 students.
Wow. And obviously a lot of them are at, you know, different points in their journey. At this point, how many have graduated and gotten jobs in schools? I won't say in the classroom, since we have all sorts of different school jobs.
You know, we just talked to our superintendent here about that just right before. We were just coming out of a meeting with him and we were talking about how do you track that information?
Yeah.
Because you have these stories, and if you have sponsors in schools that are super engaged with their students, they can start rattling that off to you right now. Because I can tell you, Maylee is at first grade at Vienna Grade School. Sydney is third grade at Buncombe Grade School. Jillian's taking a special education job. Those are my students here at Vienna. So I have stayed in contact with them. I know Callie's graduating in December. I know Emma's graduating in December, both with elementary education degrees. We can do that same thing with some of our sponsors. We can contact Ryan Schick at Johnston City High School and he can give us that information. But we just were talking with our superintendent about how do we really have a database of this information? And that's probably a question all schools, all guidance counselors at schools are worried about. We kind of take care and nurture these high school students for 4 years. They graduate. We just graduated 80 students just a couple of weeks ago. We could go through right now and tell you the plans of every single student. We have where they're going to college, where they're going to work. But what happens when they leave? How are we tracking that? And that's a piece that we're not doing it effectively. We're doing it for the students that we are maybe selectively or whatever, staying in contact with. But we really need to figure out that system of how can we really track these students to know if they went into education. And we do have some of that data. Like we do know, we can name students from every school. Olivia Brumley, Brumlevy, who actually student taught here, who is working elsewhere. But we also know that we must be missing some data on some students.
Right. Because obviously that's, at the end of the day, what the most successful outcome would be with someone going through this and going education. But again, I was fascinated. You guys have been doing this for 5 or so years now. It sounds like, you know, we've got a lot of good stories, a lot of great examples. Just baseline, do you feel like is it working in the way that you'd hoped?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, as evidenced by the number, like even just thinking right now, the students, like more and more are coming to mind who have been in the school districts around us.
Right.
So yes, I mean, I think it is.
Another point of data that we know we have from the very first year when we started having students fill out that personalized learning plan till this past year, the data, you know, what do you plan on going to community colleges? List a few. If we haven't listed it, please fill it in. Universities, from our very first year to this past year, the local school district or the local community colleges and SIUC skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. We have seen this growth of students wanting to stay local and attend education at our local university. When we first started, people were just like, oh, I'm going out of state. I'm going here. I'm going there. But we've seen this growth of wanting to stay local. So that in itself is kind of proof that students are having the buy-in to stay local and want to return local.
Do you guys ever have to like push back on, there's often a particular type of student who like wants to go into education, which is great. People that like were teaching their stuffed animals or their siblings when they were like 5 or 6. I'm sure you guys get that. But for people who you're like, I think this could be a good fit, but they don't necessarily see themselves as a teacher at that point.
Yes, I had a student this year. His name is Ethan. And his grandfather is a retired math teacher from our high school. He now teaches driver's ed. His mom and his dad are both elementary teachers. So grandma has been bending my ear for 3 years now. Like, Leslie, you have to get a hold of Ethan. Like, he would make such a good teacher. Emma, I agree with you, but I really strongly believe kids need to find what their passion is. And if this is not his passion, then I can't just like force him into this. And so for 3 years of high school, he was not involved in our CIPSE group. He was not involved in 4-H teen teachers. He did not take dual credit education class last year. This year he signed up for it. And he just told me that he had really kind of been fighting that because he felt like it was expected of him because that's what his family, his mom and his dad, were doing. And now he's going to college He's off to college. He's graduated high school. He's going to college next year. He wants to be a high school math teacher.
Like his grandpa.
Like his grandpa. And he's so proud of that. And he's on fire for it. But he had to get there on his own. And so we do sometimes see those students. It's like, oh my gosh, he would be such a great teacher. But you know, they want to be mermaids for a little bit longer. And then honestly, right? Like we sometimes have students who are like, yeah, I'm thinking about being a teacher. And I'm like, really? How cool is that?
have you ever thought about marine biology?
Exactly. Exactly. So that can also happen, which is okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have students who, I will have students who go through my program and they thought they wanted to be teachers, but they spent that time in observation, really living in that a little bit. And they're just like, you know what? I don't think it is for me.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And also it's going to save you a lot of time and a lot of money too.
Yes. You just took my dual credit education class for free. You didn't pay the tuition or the book fee for it. So you got 6 college credit hours. You didn't have to pay anything. You made a decent grade, but now you know that's not what you want for a career. Guess what? This is the perfect time to find that out before you get down the road in college.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you guys face?
I'm trying not to be ugly because I don't want him to have to edit it out.
What's a challenge? I think sometimes it really, teachers, this I think is inclusive of all teachers. Like a lot of times teachers just feel very overworked. You can say underpaid, like, right, that becomes very cliche, like overworked, underpaid. How do you get someone to do something extra? And if a school does not already have an established education club, it really is, and we're supporting that financially by offering stipends to teachers to take that on, but you do have to find the right person. It can't be just about the money. So in some of our schools, it has proven to be a little difficult to find someone who wants to take on that extra work. It doesn't have to be perceived as work. I mean, I throw that out. Like I say, well, I'm going to go to work today. I have to work on Monday. If you're passionate about it and it's something that you love to do, we hope that we're connecting with adults, teachers who are passionate about it and want to inspire other students. Unfortunately, that has not happened at 100%. We haven't always connected with the right person, or the right person hasn't been recommended to us by that school district. So there is some buy-in that has to happen. But for each school that we could name that we've struggled with, we could also probably match that with 3 that have done a really amazing job.
Right.
And those are the schools that have dynamic people leading their clubs. And I mean, I would say that those are the sponsors that really aren't seeing it as work. We have absolutely, absolutely love one of our newest clubs, Egyptian High School. Amy Sitton, Stormy Easton sponsor that. And they really were unsure about taking that role on. And is just concerned about doing a good job, concerned about whether or not they could do a good job, could absorb that into what they were already doing. And they are absolutely, like, I love them so much.
They are rocking.
Oh my gosh. Love their kids, love their school. And this year again, Amy has said, thank you so much. I already had a previous relationship with her. So in talking to her about this, it's like, okay, Amy, you know, I'm not going to tell you wrong. Like I guarantee you, you're the right person for this.
Right.
Like I know you, I know how hard you work. I know how much you love kids. And she's like, I just don't know. I just don't know. I'm like, please just try it. Please come on board for a year. If it's not what you want. Now she's 2 years into it and she's still like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
So it is always a challenge to find that. Oh my gosh, if we could just like, we got Maylee, who is our student role model. She's an adult now. She's a whole adult teaching kids.
She's all grown up.
Yeah, she's all grown up, but she's still my student who made like the little maracas for us when we went to a 4-H and event, you know. But, and then Amy, who is this in this new role. We have people like Ryan, who I mentioned earlier, who's been invested in this from the beginning. But if we could take Amy's enthusiasm for this program and get everyone who is new to buy in at that level, we would see even more wonderful things happening than what we have going on already.
Yeah. With the teacher shortage, has the scope or the severity of it, has any of that changed in any significant way, either getting worse or better over the 5 years or so that you guys have been doing this? Or is the problem in a similar place that it was when you started, but now we have more people coming through the pipeline?
I think in some school districts that they're seeing that we're moved through the problems, the shortages. Like here at Vienna, we had more people apply. I said we have a new English teacher here this year. We have a new math teacher. We had more applicants for those positions than what we previously had. Some school districts, bless their hearts, are just still plagued by some internal problems that, regardless of what we might be able to offer them or the support we might be able to give to them, they cannot get out of their own way to see progress made. Those are situations that we would love to help with. We would love to see that curve, you know, on the upswing where things are better, but that's not a situation we can control. So we just keep supporting these schools. We have Egyptian, we have Shawnee High School, we have Johnson City High School, Frankfort High School, and we can name some others too, Anna Jonesboro. We have some good, solid programs. And if those good, solid programs can continue to offer students these opportunities that we believe in, those students may not get hired back into their exact school district they're graduating from, but they're going to stay in our region.
So much of success is based on the buy-in from those teachers, the teachers who are mentoring our students who want to have a career in education. You know, you could look at the direct correlation between a really on-fire, dynamic teacher leading the education clubs versus a school that is kind of lukewarm, not really having the buy-in. If it happens, it happens. Great, whatever. I'll get my stipend and say thank you very much and go on summer break. You can see the direct correlation between those who are pouring into it and just gleaning the success and getting those students back, seeing the fruits of their labor. And then the other schools who are not giving as much into it, they're not getting it back. You can see it. So it really is a matter of those schools that are doing all they can to pour into these students. They're getting those students back as teachers. And their district is absolutely on board with hiring them. They want them back because they've seen how they are in the classrooms while they were in high school. They've seen how much these students can grow and develop even while they're still in, you know, secondary school. So absolutely, what you put into it is what you're going to get back to it.
We have a policy here at Vienna that is part of our board policy now. So I'm excited about it. It's been in our board policy for a couple of years. I kind of championed it and got it in there, that if a student who went through the education program here then goes on to college, gets qualified as a teacher, if we have a job opening that student, former student, is qualified for, they are guaranteed an interview. So there is that desire to bring those people back to us if they've gone through our program. And so here it is. You're going to be guaranteed an interview, at least. If we have an opening that you are qualified for, come in and convince us why we should hire you.
A lot of it is dependent on grant funding and, you know, literally having the money to do all this stuff. But is this something that you guys hope to just be able to keep continuing to do for years to come?
Yes, we need Illinois State Board of Education to keep rolling some money out here to us to see the value. And what they do see the value. I don't mean to imply that they don't see the value of it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, school funding is always an issue regardless of where you are, what state you're in, what area, whatever. But yes, we would love to see that continue. There's a need there for it. We know that it's there.
We've started partnering with SIU at Carbondale for grants. So, you know, passing information back and forth, wanting to partner CIFC with the college. And so making those partnerships has been really successful for us so far. talking to the Dean of Education and some of the main players over the Department of Education, they want to absorb CIFSE once our grant funding ends. They see the value in it because we're creating this base of teachers, and then we're funneling them into SAU and keeping them local. So they see the benefit of it. So they're willing to step up, take responsibility, and say, we want to take this program and bring it to SAU and continue it, recruiting in high schools, and then funneling them into the university. So we're all for it. Hey, our grant funding runs out. I'm open for a job. Come hire me.
That's great. Are there any other regional collaboratives, regional coalitions like this in Illinois? And if not, do you feel like other parts of the state could benefit from the type of work that you guys are doing?
So we do not have, there is nothing else that's a regional effort. At the state level, there is, she's looking to censor me. At the state level, there is Educator Rising. It is a national organization, but it is not a functioning program that removes economic barriers for students. So when I say that, like, our students who are in CIFSE, and I say our students, whether they're here at they're physically at the school or they're in one of our 24 other schools, there's no membership fee to join. There's no, when schools attend SIU School of Education Day, we already have it written into our grant that we can reimburse those schools the mileage and the sub that the school had to provide. We're able to feed the students when they come to that event. No one needs a single penny to receive any of these services. What is provided at the state level, which is Educator Rising, which is also a national organization, students have to pay a membership fee for that. The annual conference is in Bloomington. It's an overnight event. It has been a one-night event. Now it's a two-night event. Where does that money come from? We're asking students to pay for that. Everything that we host, we're putting our money behind it to remove all of those barriers for students. So no one else is doing this at that level. Could other places learn from this? Absolutely they can. I know that sounds like super like, ooh, let me pat myself on the back. But we live in an area where students have economic difficulty. We live in an area where these juniors and seniors that I see here every day, they're coming to school from 8 to 3, and then they're going to work jobs because they have to work a job. Their families need them to work a job. How are we going to engage them in a potential career as a teacher if they don't get those experiences, unless we say, well, you're going to have to pay us some money to do these things? This grant provides these students with all of these learning opportunities without it costing the students anything. So how can that be anything but a win? There's no one else offering that.
Well, and I think a big part of it is not just the opportunities being there, but the opportunities being local. It's something that you hear so much, especially from folks in Southern Illinois, folks in just any especially rural part of the state. Like, I talk to folks from Western Illinois, from Forgottonia, right? Like, they have these same conversations about that kind of fear of brain drain of students who are thriving, who would maybe want to be a teacher, but don't feel like they can stay there to achieve that, or that there won't be opportunities there for them.
We have, like, our relationship with SIU has just been absolutely amazing. It's grown so much. Educator Rising is having an event at their annual event is at Illinois State University. Illinois State University has a fantastic education program. I stand by that. But that's not where we want our students to go. We don't want them to go out of our Southern Illinois region to Illinois State University necessarily and then just stay there. We need to show them what's here. And we can show them what is here and do that in a way that every single student, we don't cap our membership. Anyone who wants to be a member in a school that we serve can be a member. Even if you come in and say, well, I would actually like to be a vet. Mermaid. We'll be a mermaid. Good. Be a member here with us, you know? So just being able to show them locally what there is and not say this is a job that you have to leave the area for, that this is a job that you can only pursue or an education you can only pursue if you leave the area. no, right here locally, we're going to show you, we're going to put you on the campus of all three of our community colleges. We're going to put you on the campus of our local university and show you, you can stay right here and very much afford to pursue that career.
You probably have some fun examples of some students that are very nervous about their first classroom experience. Hopefully it goes well. Hopefully, but like, that's always like, I always think for me, there's like two moments for deciding what you want to do, right? There's the, I think this is what I want to do. And there's the, I'm trying it for the first time. Oh my gosh, I hope that, yes, I actually do like this. You've got to have some fun stories of, mm-hmm, some students that are either really excited or really nervous to have that first experience.
Oh gosh. Well, I have a student who's graduating in December from Murray State University as an elementary teacher. She took education with me. She graduated in 2022. She was going to school to be a lawyer. She's like, absolutely not. I'm not going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm taking the class because I want to take the class, and she wanted to take the class with me. Okay, fine. It's free college credit, and we're going to have a good time. She had a good time in her observation. She graduated high school. I am not going to be a teacher. I am pursuing law. December 2026. Callie will be graduating with an elementary education degree because she got into college and she realized, oh my gosh, I really don't want to be a lawyer. And I really, really loved my experience in the classroom. And then I also had the student who spent one day in kindergarten and begged me to never send her back there again.
We live and we learn.
It took one 45-minute class period. And she was like, I can't do that anymore. You have to change my observation.
That can be a real learning experience the first time you're in front of about 25-year-olds.
Yes. This was a high school student who was 17 years old who said, I never want to go back in that classroom again. And as it turns out, is because she made a kindergartner cry on her
birthday. Oh, no. Well, they're five. That happens.
No. I said, what did you do? She goes, I told her that the game we were playing, she wasn't following the rules. I found her a different place.
It's all good. All right. I told you I don't want to keep you very long. I will end you both with the last question that we always like to ask people, which is, this show is based on the idea that everyone has had a teacher in their life in some way that has inspired them to help them become who they are today. Whether it's a teacher you had in, you know, your kindergarten class, whether it's a teacher that you work with now, anyone, coaches, counselors, whoever, who comes to mind when you think about the teachers who've inspired you?
Mine goes back to when I was in high school. I was one of those kids, didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I happened to stumble into the Preschool for All classroom that was kind of hidden in our classroom. It was behind the home ec classroom, but not yet to the catering kitchens. And I walked in there and Miss Mickey, the lead teacher, was like, hey, come on in here and have a seat. And I started interacting with preschoolers and it changed my life. And I've been early childhood for over 20 years. Done all different kinds of jobs. And now somehow I've landed in a high school working with high school students, which, by the way, are not really different from preschoolers. They're all egocentric. It's all about me.
They're just taller. Gotcha,
just give me a snack. Tell me I'm pretty. Here's a sticker. It's the same thing.
That's how I function at 30 too.
So. Absolutely. You know, give me a snack, rub my back. It's fine. But it was Miss Mickey who set me on this trajectory to go into education. And I'm pretty sure she has no idea the impact she made on me.
Wow, is she still around? Can we let her know?
She's somewhere in the area, but I'm not really sure what she did because I went off to, you know, college and everything.
Yeah.
She doesn't live in the same house she lived in whenever I was in high school, so yeah.
Hopefully she's listening.
Miss Mickey from Pinckneyville High School taught the Preschool for All classroom. There you go.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to, like, mine's running through my head because I saw the question when you sent it to us, and it's always the same answer, but it's a little bit of a drawn out story. And of course, you can edit as you need, but it was Mrs. Reed in eighth grade. She was my eighth grade English teacher. But the thing is, I hated her. So it's not that I wanted to be a teacher because I didn't want to be her. I didn't realize until later the impact that she had on me. So I really thought she was the devil for a while because my family didn't have a lot of money. And it was a big deal for us to get to go weekly to the library to check out books. But because we didn't have a lot of money, like, you better not deface that book at all. you better take care of that book. You don't spill anything on that book. You don't dog ear a page on that book, nothing. That book better be the same way when you send it back. We had to purchase our own copy of The Scarlet Letter in eighth grade. So that was a big deal. Like, what was it? Probably a $5 book, but we didn't have it, but we had it because my mom was never going to not have it for us, but we had to buy that book. And that woman made us write in the book because it was our book. We had to take notes. We had to annotate. I didn't know what annotation was when I was an eighth grader. We had to circle new words that we didn't know and write definitions for it. So figure out in context of what it meant. And I thought that woman was straight sending me to hell for defacing a book. And I'm like, this goes against everything. Like, we don't have money.
This is not God's plan.
You do not write in books. And this devil of a teacher was going to send me straight to hell for defacing a book.
And I've never heard this story before. I am dying.
I have.
You did not know about the demonic overtones here.
Okay. And I really almost hated her for that for a while. She also called my mom and told her I wasn't doing the best work I could do. So, you know, there was that too, which was also a true statement. But it is always her that I just think, oh my gosh, like, look at how much she was pushing me to learn. And the skill set she was teaching me, I didn't realize that at eighth grade. Like, I'm going to use annotation. This is going to be a really amazing way to keep track of all my notes through college. I don't need a notebook. I'm going to write it in the book. But it's always her. It's always her that I go back to. And I just think, golly, in the moment, I was not a fan for many reasons. But moving on through college, it's always her that I think back. Like, she really cared enough to make sure that we were getting the best education that she could offer to us, even if she made us deface a book.
And she grew up into an English teacher too.
Yeah.
Did you ever go back and say, you know what? You're actually not the devil.
Yeah. So unfortunately she was elderly at that time.
Oh, okay. And, yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah,
yeah. She had ended up retiring. She'd moved to, moved and now a lot of time has gone past, but
Sure.
I didn't, but I do share that story. I'm surprised I hadn't told you that. But I have shared that story a lot. Anytime I have to go into a classroom and talk about making career choices, because I changed career, I changed majors. I started as an accounting major. I love working with numbers. I love that aspect of, and I wanted to make money. I let's just face it. I thought I would make more money and I would have made more money, but it wasn't really what I was called to do. And so anyhow, Mrs. Reed made me write in that book of The Scarlet Letter and learn all those study skills.
Do you still deface books or is that it?
Yeah, no, I still am taking notes in books. They're like, oh, someone else is going to teach this class now. Yeah, well, they're not getting the teacher edition of the textbook because those notes are mine. So you're going to have to order your own teacher edition of a textbook because, no. My copy of Julius Caesar is probably going to be worth, I could probably sell it to some students at this point, you know, after teaching it for 10 years and making my own notes and Macbeth and all the Shakespeare things.
Brooke Leslie, thank you so much for taking some time to do this. I really appreciate it. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Leslie Bradley and Brooke May, the teachers behind the Southern Illinois Future Teachers Coalition, and thank you so much for listening to Teachers Lounge. As always, please feel free to nominate a teacher in your life to be on the show. It's how we get all of our great guests. Please send them our way to teacherslounge@niu.edu. Wherever you're hearing the podcast, subscribe, leave us a rating, share it with a friend. It's the best way to help us reach more people and get even more perspectives on the show. A huge thank you to the Northern Illinois band Kind Ofs for the music you hear each and every episode of this show. And we will be back again soon for another episode. I'm Peter Medlin. Thank you so much for joining us.